I was asked by someone recently how to understand the whole phenomena of Shabbos Nachamu. We know that Tisha B'Av is in its waning hour, in its waning moments, really. Ready, we just at the Shkia, and Be'ezus Hashem, this coming Shabbos will be marking as Shabbos Nachamu, the Haftarah of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, where the Novi Yeshaya calls upon the Nevi'im to console Klal Yisrael after the Churban. So the person asked me, in what sense does it really make sense to have a Shabbos Nachamu year after year? If you would tell me that at the end of Tisha B'Av the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, so then I understand Nachamu Nachamu Ami in the context of the Novi Yeshaya is telling the Nevi'im that they should give words of Nechama, of consolation to Klal Yisrael, because although right now they're in Golus and Bava, they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so I understand that that's a Nechama. But what sense does it make to have a Nechama year in and year out, where, other than the fact that we're able to wear freshly laundered clothes, take showers, and get a haircut, there's not much of a substantive Nechama, being that the Beis HaMikdash has not yet been rebuilt? So to try to answer that question, what is the role of Shabbos Nachamu and the whole concept of the Nechama that we experience, that we speak about experiencing, even in the waning hours of Tisha B'Av and certainly after Tisha B'Av, I want to share a few thoughts from the Sefer Netzach Yisrael of the Maral of Prague, Perek Chavav, where although he doesn't address this issue directly, the Divrei Torah that he does share, I think are very relevant to this question. We'll start with a medrash. There's a well-known medrash. If it wasn't well-known until now, it's about to become well-known. There's a well-known medrash in Eicha Rabba, Perek Aleph, paragraph Nun Aleph, where we're told the following story. Rabbi Shimon Omar Uvda Hava B'Chad Bar Nosh to have a Rode. Rabbi Shimon said there was once a story with a certain individual, a Jew, who was out plowing his field. Goath torta. His ox, all of a sudden, let out a bray, or some kind of cry. Avar alav chararavi. An Arab individual passed by the Jew who had been plowing. Omar le ma'at. The Arab said to the Jew, what kind of person are you? Omar le yehudoi ano. So the Jew said back, I'm Jewish. Omar le shari tarach v'shari parnach. The Arab said to the Jew, unbuckle your ox and the plow, which you're using to plow now. In other words, stop plowing. Omar le lama. The Jew said to the Arab, why are you telling me to do this? Omar le mikdashoy de yehudoi chores. So the Arab said to the Jew, The Beit HaMikdash of the Jews has just been destroyed. So it's not right for you to be plowing when the Beit HaMikdash was just destroyed a few moments ago. Amar le minoya dat. So the Jew asked the Arab, how on earth do you know that fact? This is pre-Twitter. Amar le migas the Torah. So the Arab said back to the Jew, I could discern in the braying of your ox that something like that was up, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Talk about that in just a moment. Ad asik imei, goas zimni achrisa. While the Arab and the Jew were speaking, the ox brayed a second time. Amar lei, so the Arab said to the Jew, asur turach, asur parnach. You know what? Scrap what I said before. Hook up the ox and the plow once again and get back to plowing. Why? Is Yalid Parkoy the Yehudoi? Because the Savior of the Jews has just been born. Moshiach has just been born. So yeah, a minute ago the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was appropriate to stop plowing. But now Baruch Hashem, Moshiach has been born. And now you can get back to plowing again. Now everything is good with the world. So, you know, just as you were, resume what you were doing before. Just before we're going to see much more from the Maral later, but the Maral raises the question of how the braying of an ox had any relevance whatsoever to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, the Mashiach being born. what kind of ox was this? This is a Nevuah Dika ox, you know, prophetic ox. Where do you find such a thing? You know, it would be quite a thing. So the Maral writes that we find this phenomena, and again, I think even in modern times, you know, there are examples of this phenomena as well. Animals very often are sensitive to realia that human beings are not sensitive to. You know, I think they say that if there's a forest fire coming, the animals already are attuned to it from miles away. They start running away just from the perception that there's a forest fire that's coming. So similarly as well, right, the Maral, animals have sometimes a kind of a sixth sense that they're able to be attuned to things in the spiritual world that human beings are not necessarily able to be attuned to. Perhaps it's the very simplicity of animals that they're able to block out other stimuli, and they're able to connect and to touch these spiritual kind of vibes that are given off. Somehow, as the Maral, the ox was able to perceive that which the Jew was not able to perceive, namely that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and that the Moshiach had been born on the very same day. The question then presents itself, okay, so how did the Arab understand the ox? I mean, it's one thing, okay, the ox we understand. How did the Arab get it? So here, this is not the Maral, but I think there's something very contemporary over here as well. Sometimes we Jews need to be told by non-Jews what we're supposed to be thinking about topics that are related to Geula and the like. Right? Again, just we're not looking to get political in these waning hours of Tisha B'Av, but sometimes, you know, sometimes a group of Christians can be much better friends to us and to Eretz Yisrael than many Jewish people who are not able to hear the braying of the ox. Sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to hear the braying of the ox and to understand what that's all about. Okay, ad kan, any discussion of politics. So okay, so the Moshiach has just been born. That's pretty great news, right? So the Jew says to the Arab, Amar lei umashemei, what happens to be the name of this Moshiach? Amar lei Menachem Shemei. So all the Lubavitchers just got very excited. So the Arab said back to the Jews, his name is Menachem. Okay, let's see how this goes. The Aviv Mashemei. So what's the name of the father of Moshiach? The Jew asked the Arab. Amar lei Yechizkiah. Okay, so all the Lubavitchers just got disappointed. It doesn't quite work out like that. So, but the name of Moshiach, now you know. The name of Moshiach is Menachem ben Chizkiah. That's what it says in the Medrash. Amar lei. So the Jew said to the Arab, V'heichon shariyeh, and where would Moshiach happen to be right about now? You told me that he was just born. Amar lei, v'deiras arva v'beis lechem Yehuda. He's in Beis Lechem, in a biras arva, in a palace that is either is named Arva or the palace of an Arab in Beis Lechem. Zabin ahu gavra Torah zabin parnei v'havamazbin libadin v'yanukin. So this Jewish fellow decides, you know, I gotta go, you know, I just found out who Mashiach is, where he is, I have to go see him. You know, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. He sells the ox, he sells the plow, and he goes into business selling swaddling cloths, diapers, for children. Olu l'karta v'olu l'medina v'nofik l'medina adamata l'taman. He travels and travels and travels and sounds like he's nowhere near Beis Lechem. And after all, he didn't even know that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed, so apparently wherever he was far away from Eretz Yisrael. He travels, he travels, he travels. He finally comes to Beis Lechem, and he holds up the sign, he's selling diapers, he's selling swaddling cloths. Also called Kafraya L'Mizban Mina. So all of the townspeople came to buy diapers from him. Vahu Itzei, Ima Dahu Yanuka, Lozabdis Minei. There's only one woman who didn't come to buy diapers from him, and the narrator of the story tells us, by the way, this was the mother of Moshiach, who didn't come to buy diapers. Amar La. So the Jewish fellow said to this woman, "Lest an zavnis loved in the anuka, what? You don't need any swaddling cloths. You don't have any kids at home." Amar lo, "Dinachshei kashi li anuka." the woman said back, I have a child, and he could use swaddling cloths, he could use diapers, but there's something about his mazel which bothers me. This child seems to be bad luck. Omar le lama. So he said to her, why? Omra le da al rigle be samit ishare. So the woman said back, because this child was born on the very day on which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So clearly this is an unlucky child, and he's so unlucky, I don't know what's going to be with him. I'm not interested in investing the money in diapers, because I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Amar la. So the man said to this woman, Rechitzin b'mari d'shmaya, I swear by the Master of Heaven, da'al rigle charei ve'al rigle mistani. He may have been born on the day on which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but it's through this child that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. Amar la. So he said to this woman, Yisivlach min ilein levedin diyanuka. Please, take all of these swaddling cloths. You can have them. They're on the house. I'll come back later, and you'll pay me whenever. You know, right now, just take these swaddling cloths. Consider it my gift to you, that you don't have to pay for it on the spot. It's good. Nasba v'yazla. She took the swaddling cloths, and he left. A few days later, the fellow said, you know, let me go back to Beis Lechem, let me see how this child is doing with the swaddling cloths. Also, the Gaba, he came and saw the woman, Armarla, and he said to her, nu, how's your beautiful bouncing baby boy? Amrala, lo amrislach dinachshe kashe. The woman said back to him, didn't I tell you that he was jinxed? There was something wrong with his mazel? Demenahu shata, achyon ruchin va'al ulin ta'une va'azli lahom. From the time that we had that conversation, a great wind came away, picked up the child and carried him off. Would you imagine? Amar lo, v'lo kach amris. So the man said back to the woman, don't be afraid, don't be spooked out by that. Anybody would be spooked out by that. Don't be afraid of that. Da'al rigle charevi, al rigle mispenei. I told you already that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt through this child, and the fact that he was carried off by the winds in such a bizarre, miraculous fashion is just the proof that you don't have a child who's jinxed. You have a very special child, and this child is going to be the one who's going to bring about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. This medrash is the source for the statement, very famous statement, that Moshiach is born on Tisha B'Av itself. In fact, that's the source for the minhag of the Arizal. The Arizal said that we should dafka try to be Mekadesh Levana Motsoi Tisha B'Av. The Ramah writes that we try to avoid being Mekadesh Levana until the night following the night after Tisha B'Av. And it's not relevant this year, for this year the night following Tisha B'Av is Yud Aleph. But in a typical year, the night following Tisha B'Av is Yud, the night on which the Beis HaMikdash was actually burning. The Ramah says we shouldn't be Mekadesh Levana then, because it's a sad day. The Beis HaMikdash is burning on the 10th, even as it started burning on the 9th. Said the Arizal, no. But Moshiach was born on Tisha B'Av. So already the beginnings of the Geula are starting on Tisha B'Av, and therefore it's appropriate to be Mekadesh Levana Davka Motsoi Tisha B'Av, even when Motsoi Tisha B'Av comes out to be the 10th of the month. Maral raises what I think is a basic question on this Medrash. So where is Moshiach? The Medrash implies that he was born not just on Tisha B'Av, that he was born on the very day that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So, again, you don't have to be the biggest math guy, but if you do a little bit of math, it comes out that Moshiach is about 2,000 years old. So what does that mean? What does that mean at all? So, writes the Maral, the Medrash, like many Midrashim, is not meant to be taken literally. The description of Moshiach being born on Tisha B'Av does not mean that there's a flesh and blood individual named Moshiach who's actually born on Tisha B'Av. It may be that when Moshiach makes his appearance, he has a different birthday. And it may be that his name isn't Menachem, and it may be that his father's name isn't Yechizkiyahu. So what does the Medrash mean? The Medrash means, metaphorically, says the Maharal, that the seeds for Geula are already planted on the day of destruction. In a sense, we need the Churban and the Galus to take place in order to be able to bring about the Geula. Because, says the Maharal, only when something is lacking can you not only complete it, but bring it to even greater heights of perfection. If something is totally perfect, there's no way to make it better. It's only when something loses out, it's only when there's a deficiency in something, that we can then come and not only fill in the deficiency, but even raise it to greater heights. Just to expand on this Maharal in a moment, we'll see where the Maharal himself expands on this idea. But this is certainly an idea which I think many of us could appreciate on a personal level. Right? Very often a person goes through difficult times, trying times, times in which the person feels that he fell in some way or another, be it spiritually or in some other fashion. And very often it's that very failing which enables the person to strengthen himself, to gain insight into powers and kochos that that person had, which they didn't realize that they had before. And in their overcoming adversary, they're able to bring themselves to even greater heights than they would have been able to do previously. They quote from Rav Nachman of Breslov that Ayeh Mekom Kavodo, when the Malachim say that where is the place of Hashem's glory, so Rav Nachman of Breslov said, when a person asks Ayeh, when he gets to the point where he says, where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? So that is Makom Kavod, that is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod could be found. Again, it's Ke'en, it's very similar to this idea from the Maharal, where the Maharal is talking about it not on a personal level, but on a national level. Davka the Churban represents the seeds for being able to strengthen ourselves, to try to work to overcome the Churban, and to ultimately bring the Geula. In that sense, Moshiach is born on Tisha B'Av, not the flesh and blood Moshiach. Again, he's not 2,000 years old, but the kochos, the potential for Moshiach, the potential for the ultimate geula, comes about through the very destruction and churban of the Beis Hamikdash itself. That, says the Maharal, is hinted at in the names that are associated with Moshiach and with his father. Again, if we're not talking about a flesh and blood Moshiach, why are we naming him? His name is Menachem, his father's name is Chizkiyahu. Again, if all of that is non-literal, so what's the point of saying it? So explains the Maharal, no. Kol mi shehu bekoach mitzapeh letov utshua, anyone who's anticipating that good things and salvations are going to come, nikra sheyesh lo nechama. That's already called a consolation. Consolation doesn't necessarily mean that the problem has to be solved. Consolation simply means that we anticipate that there's going to be a resolution. If we have hope for the future, even if that hope hasn't been actualized yet, that already, says the Maharal, is called Nechama. So the Moshiach is called Menachem, because Hu Tanchumin Sho Yisrael Begalusam. The very fact that we have belief in Moshiach, even though he hasn't come yet, that in its own right is the Nechama, is a consolation for Klal Yisrael. It's not simply that when Moshiach comes, he's going to console us. Our thoughts right now that Moshiach will come serve as a Nechama to us and serve to get us through the Galus. And that's why not only is Moshiach himself called Menachem, the consoler, but his father is called Chizkiyahu. Why Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu comes from the word to be mechazik, to strengthen. It's this belief in the coming of Moshiach, this hope, this anticipation that Moshiach is going to come, which gives us nechama, gives us consolation, and strengthens us throughout the long and difficult galus. In that sense, he's Menachem ben Chizkiyo. The concept of Moshiach is what ultimately strengthens us and enables us to make it through the galus. The Maral relates this to another medrash, which we made reference to in the kinos this morning. In the medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, we're told that Mitchilas Briyoso Shel Olam Safa Kodesh Baruch Hu Amikdash Banoi V'Chorei V'Banoi. That from the very, very beginning of time, from before creation itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that the Mikdash would be built, that it would be destroyed, and yet it would be rebuilt. How did he see, we mentioned this in one of the kinos this morning, how did he see that it would be built? Bereishis Bara Elokim, the beginning of God's creation that represents the Mikdash being built. Where did he see that it would be destroyed? Says the Medrash. The world was empty and in a jumble and chaotic. And finally, where do we see that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Hashem says there should be light. This references, says the Maral, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That says the Medrash, this references the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Adkan the Medrash. Writes the Maral, a prerequisite for Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or is the Ha'aretz Ha'isosov Vavo. You can't have the light until you first have the chaos. It couldn't be any other way. The Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world in such a way that there would be a mikdash, there would be a churban, and there would be a rebuilding. Because once again, the seeds of the rebuilding are in the churban itself. Again, very beautifully he writes, you can't have vayehi or unless you have or in place of so vavo. That as well, says the Maral, is pshat in a very famous gemara at the end of Makos, which my understanding is was referenced in the news over the past couple of days. Gemara says at the end of Makos that Rabbi Akiva and the other Chachamim were walking on Har Habayis and Ra'u Shu'al Yotzei Mibeis Kodshei HaKadoshim, and the assembled saw Shu'al coming out of what had been previously the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Har Habayis was desolate, and they saw Shu'al coming out of what had been the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shu'al is usually translated as a fox. My father delights in telling me that Shu'alim are actually jackals, so take it for what you want. He saw a Shu'al, whatever it is, a fox, a jackal, coming out of the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there was an article going around over the past couple of days, pictures of foxes or jackals going around on the Har Habayis to be Mekayim, that which we read in Eichol last night, Shu'alim Hilchuvo, that the Shu'alim are walking on the Har Habayis. Yischivu Heim Bolchim Rabbi Akiva Mesachek. So they began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. Amr lo Akiva lama from Mesachek. The other Chacham said to him, Akiva, why are you laughing? Mar lahem ibnei matem bochim. So he said back, so why are you crying? Amr lo, they said to him, we're not going to cry. We see the foxes walking on the Har Habayis, and we see the desolation. We're not going to cry. Amar lahem l'chachani Mesachek. So Rabbi Akiva said, let me explain to you why I'm so happy, why I'm laughing. Basically says Rabbi Akiva, there are two nevuos, there are two prophecies which are dependent one upon the other. Uriah prophesies that the Har Habayis would be plowed over. Zechariah prophesies that Od Yeshvu Zekeinim Zekeinos Bichovos Yerushalayim, that there's going to come a time when Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt and re-inhabited, and the old men and women, or the youth-challenged men and women, are going to be sitting out in Yerushalayim and enjoying and being part of a rebuilt Yerushalayim. So says Rabbi Akiva, now that I, until I saw that the Nevuah of Uriah was fulfilled. I wasn't sure that the Nevuah of Zechariah was going to be fulfilled. But now that I see the Nevuah of Uriah is fulfilled, I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah, the Nevuah of rebuilding, is going to be fulfilled as well. Esther Maral, yeah, really? Rabbi Akiva was not sure that Zechariah's Nevuah was going to come true until he saw that Uriah's Nevuah came true. Rabbi Akiva didn't believe in the words of the Nevi'im, Chas v'Shalom. Zechariah said, Ol Yesh was the Kenos, Rechov is Yerushalayim. So that's the end of the story. Rabbi Akiva needs to be convinced that Nevuah is going to come true. So says the Maral beautifully. Of course Rabbi Akiva believed in all the words of the Nevi'im. But had there not been a Churban first, Zechariah's Nevuah would have been fulfilled in a minimal fashion. You'd walk out on the streets of Yerushalayim, there'd be two Zekanim, two Zekanos, they wouldn't be so old, they wouldn't be collecting Social Security. Okay, there'd be a Kiyum, there'd be a fulfillment of the Nevuah in a very limited sense. But now that there's a Churban, says the Maral, says Rabbi Akiva, now that there's a Churban, not only do I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah is going to be fulfilled, but I know that the Nevuah of Zechariah of rebuilding is going to be fulfilled in the most robust of fashions. Because the greater the Churban, the greater the potential for rebuilding. And that, says the Maral, that's exactly the same idea which comes out from all of these Makaros which we mentioned before. The greater the Churban is, the more it lays the seeds for the ultimate rebuilding. We need a certain degree of Churban in order to be able to make the Geula as powerful as it can possibly be. Let's go back to what we started off with at the very beginning of the Shiur tonight. So we asked what role one can possibly attribute to Shabbos Nachamu. What Nechama is there? So on one level, the Maral already gave us a part of an answer. The very yearning for Moshiach is considered to be a Nechama, is considered to be a consolation. Because even though we know that the Beis HaMikdash has not been restored, the fact that we're aware that Moshiach is going to come, the fact that we put our emunah on the fact that Moshiach is going to come, that in its own right provides us a Nechama right now and is mechazik us, Menachem ben Chizkiyahu. That gives us a sense of consolation and chizuk for when Moshiach, to enable us to get through the galus until that point. So that's on one level the idea of Shabbos Nachamu, that even without the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the belief in Moshiach is in itself a nechama. I think we can go even beyond that. Maral is telling us, the more we experience the Churban, the more greater the ultimate geula is going to be. Every Tisha B'Av that passes makes the final Geula that much greater. Every successive Tisha B'Av gives us more, helps us discover within ourselves more kochos, more inner strengths that will ultimately enable us to be able to bring the final Geula. And in that sense, it's totally appropriate to have a Shabbos Nachamu every single year. Because as we've experienced the Galus and the Churban one more year, it not only brings us that much closer to the ultimate Geula, but it means, as the Maral is telling us, that the ultimate Geula is going to be that much greater as a result of all the Churban. We should be Zocha Be'ezus Hashem that this Shetaka be the last Tisha B'Av that we observe as the Tanis, and that all that Tisha B'Av together with all the rest of the Tzomos should be nehapich l'beis Yisrael. They should be transformed for all of Klal Yisrael. L'sason u'l'simcha. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu.